Blog Talk Radio. come on everybody and tell him how much you need it. Tell God how much you need. How many know we can't make it without him? We need the breath of your presence. We need so anointing. Oh, we need it. Come on everybody. Come on, lift your hands up all over the place. Tell them how much you need it. Oh, we need God. Come on and bless his name. Oh, God.
In total surrender, all I have lifted high in total praise. When the praises go up in the house of the Lord, blessings come down. When the praises go up, blessings come down. When the praises go up, blessings come down. The praises go up. The blessings of the Lord. So you guys have to come back. I'm saying the blessing of the Lord. Come on, you come in. Praises go up, blessings come down, praises go up, when the praises, oh, when the praises go up, blessings go up. In total praise, oh, in our hands of God. In total surrender, oh, in total.
Why not take all? Total surrender.
blessings come down when the praises go up. Blessings come down when the praises go up. Blessings come down when the praises, when the praises, when the praises, when the praises go up. The blessings come down when the praises go up. The blessings, oh, when we learn how to praise Him. Hallelujah. When we learn how to praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, ba-da-da-ma-sha. When we learn how to praise Him. Hallelujah. When we learn how to praise Him. Shikata-ha-ra-da-ba-ko-sa-ka. With a whole heart, with a whole mind, the whole being. When we learn how to praise Him. Oh, Jesus. When I learn, when I learn, when I learn, when I learn. Just to please You. Just to please You. Just to please You when I learn. When I learn how. When I learn. I'll handle it there. High. We're in total surrender. Our
teach me.
me alone. Teach me how to worship, Lord.
Teach me,
Lord. I want to know how to pray. Take us into the Holy of Holies. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, take us past the crowds of people. Take us into the holy place. Take us, Lord.
Tonight, Lord.
Tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord. Oh, tonight, tonight. Tonight, tonight. Tonight, tonight. Oh, tonight. Tone our hearts. Tone our minds. Tone our spirits. Tonight, Lord. Tone our voices. Tonight, tonight, Lord. Tonight, tonight, Lord. Tonight, tonight, Lord.
Maybe you you're almost on the verge of giving up or getting mad at God because you thought that all you had to do was call it and haul it and name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Well, I know some of you are trying really hard not to show it. In fact, you're doing a pretty good job on a Wednesday night covering it up. But the truth of the matter is we are just about in the middle of this year. And maybe you really don't want everybody to know this, but maybe you feel like God has misplaced his calendar. Maybe God has, maybe he broke his watch because you feel like time is running out. I know I might not be talking to everybody, but am I talking to just two or three people in every section? You see other folk in the body of Christ around you getting blessed. And you are wondering, well, am I next, Lord? I've been patient. Is it my turn yet? Nobody else knows it, but sometimes I'm wringing my hands. Sometimes I'm up walking the floor at night thinking about it. And if I had my way, I would schedule a conference with God and say, hey, God, what's up? I'm feeling a little desperate because I'm dealing with some things. I've been laboring over some things and fighting and struggling and wrestling, sometimes with the same issue and the same problem that I was dealing with all night, watch night service, laying before the Lord last year. And not only that, but sometimes I look around at other folk and it seems like wicked people that don't care about God like I do look like some of them are doing better, look like evil people are living better than me, eating better than me, driving better than me, got better jobs, got better houses, got a man, got a woman. Am I talking to anybody yet? And you just keep praying and believing God for what God told you. You just keep on being faithful. But I believe that somebody came to church tonight on a Wednesday night telling yourself, I'm willing to give it one more try. Is there anybody who's willing to give it just one more try? See, this is what I've come to learn and understand about God, that there are three things. When you are determined that there is something that you want from God, there are three things that you have to keep in mind. Number one, there is something in your life that you have to be passionate about. See, that reminds us that if you are going to be a winner in any situation, you have to make sure that you are passionate about your issue. You must be passionate because life is not worth living unless there is something that you are passionate about. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, what? And have it more abundantly. And that's, Bishop Owens, that's how I feel about it. See, every man dies, but not every man lives, because everybody doesn't have something that they are passionate about. Now, I don't know about you, but everything that I do, I'm going to do it with some passion behind it. I might not be the best singer in the choir, might not know all the words, might not can hit them high notes and dig into them low notes, but I'm going to sing with some passion. Might not be the best preacher out there, but I'm going to stand flat-footed and preach the best that I can, because the difference between somebody who lives in mediocrity and somebody who pursues excellence is that they are passionate. Yeah, yeah. The second characteristic of somebody who's determined to win, is that they are not willing to take no for an answer. You see, for some folk, for a winner, it doesn't matter if the odds are stacked against them. They just refuse. They refuse to take no for an answer, because a winner will take a no and turn that thing into a maybe. They can take a maybe and turn it into a yes. They can find a closed door and look around somewhere else and find an open window. They can find a closed window and find a crack in the wall. I believe that I got about four or five winners in the house tonight. People that are willing to say, I don't care what the bank said. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what my credit looks like. I just refuse to take no for an answer. I believe somebody that would testify, that would say, it does not matter. I believe that if God be for me, I'm not worried about who's against me. I'm not worried about who don't like me. Do I have some witnesses tonight? Do I have anybody in the house who can say, thank God I pushed a little harder. Thank God I pressed my way a little harder. Thank God I pulled a little harder, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, because I refuse to take no for an answer. A winner has an issue that they are passionate about. And they refuse to take no for an answer. But the third thing is this. You need to know that that a winner has no problem going the extra mile. Allow me to pause there parenthetically and remind you that there is very little traffic on the extra mile because a whole lot of people just won't go that far. They won't push that hard. And that is where some of us miss our breakthrough. Some of us miss our deliverance because the blessing of God is never on the first mile. The blessing comes when you are willing to go the extra mile. When you feel like giving up, you can go the extra mile. When you feel like throwing your hands up, throwing in the towel, the blessing is never on the first mile, but it's on, somebody say, the extra mile. Is there anybody in here that's ever been through something that can say that's exactly where I got my breakthrough? When I pushed my way, when I pressed my way, when I found my way, I hung in there, I endured and I persevered. When I couldn't find nobody else, I went the extra mile. Well, that's what the biblical text is all about. This is a little story that is nestled between the end of the Old Testament and the rest of the New Testament. These mere 8 verses introduce us to a woman who had a winning spirit. Now, she is a winner because she has an issue that she is passionate about. She is a winner because she just refused to take no for an answer. And she's a winner because she's willing to go the extra mile. Let me see if I can work this thing out. I'm going to give you a little background, some theology, some historicity, a literary note, and then on a Wednesday night, those of you that will, we're going to get our praise on. Is that all right? Now, well, the Bible says that Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. And when Jesus arrived in the city, he immediately went into a house because he did not want anybody to know that he was there. But you all know that good news travels fast because he could not stay hidden because word got out that the miracle worker was in town. Word got out that the one who healed the 10 men with leprosy and only one had enough sense to come back and tell him thank you, he was in town. Word got out that the man who healed the man who was paralyzed, that word got out in the grapevine. The Bible says, and out of nowhere came a Canaanite. Of her daughter. She comes because she knows that if anybody can help her, Jesus can. Comes because she knows that if anybody could help her, Jesus would. Now we don't know a lot about that woman's life. Because Matthew was not like the gospel writer Luke. Dr. Luke was a very detailed writer. He knew how to cross every T and dot every I. But Matthew does not do that. As a matter of fact, I told you that the story only takes up about 8 mere verses in the text. But we do know that that woman had no voice. She had no value. She had no significance because in ancient times, women were faceless and powerless. Matthew doesn't give us a whole lot of details, but I do believe that that woman was a housewife, whether her husband was dead or alive, because women did not work outside of the home. No doubt that woman stayed home all day and all night tending to the needs of her sick child. And I, Senior Bishop Williams, I do believe that the woman had to be desperate. How do you know, preacher? I know she had to be desperate because I can tell by the simplicity of her prayer. Yes, she simply said, Jesus, thou son of David, I need you to have mercy on me. She was very simple. She said to him, I'm not asking you for a car. I'm not coming asking you for a new wardrobe. I'm not asking for a hairstyle. I'm not even praying money cometh. I just need you to have mercy on me because my daughter is demon possessed. She said, you see, this is what I've come to understand. When you are in a difficult situation, when you find yourself between the devil and the deep blue sea and a rock and a hard place, things, you don't have a whole lot of time for long-winded prayers. See, when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, you don't have time for formal prayers filled with those $50 phrases and flowery words. You just got to make it real simple. You just got to cut to the chase. Jesus, thou son of David, I need you to have mercy on me. Is there anybody in the house tonight who has ever said, excuse me if I got the bypass protocol, pardon me if I sound kind of crass or rude, but I see out of desperation, I came because I need God to do something supernatural in my life. I'm not here to act cute. I didn't come to act ghetto fabulous. Tell your neighbor SOS, tell them slide over some. Yeah, y'all sit down, you're making me nervous. She came in crisis. She came because there was chaos and confusion. She came out of desperation and determination. And because of all of this, she had to simplify her prayer. The woman said, Jesus, thou son of David. In her plea was respect and reverence. You see, calling him Jesus says that I know that you are the one from Nazareth. And calling him son of David says that I know that you are the chosen one. And look at this. In her request, she asks for mercy and not grace. See, Now that's amazing. That is profound. And let me show you why. Ask me why. You see, the reason why she's asking for mercy and not grace is because she understands that she's living with double jeopardy. See. Oh, I think I done lost some of y'all. See, she understands that she has some stuff working against her. First, she understands that she's a woman, and she knows that that is a major problem. Right off the bat, she understands that she's a second-class citizen, that she has no rights. She has no rights, and she has no entitlement. She's little more than just a sheep or a goat. And secondly, not only was she a woman, but she was a Canaanite woman. She was a Gentile, a non-Jew. She was born on the wrong side of the tracks. She had some stuff. Somebody say some stuff. Yeah, she had some stuff in her background that disqualified her. She had some stuff in her background that caused her to be unfit for anything Jesus had to offer. She had some stuff. Somebody holler some stuff. Yeah, she had some stuff that disentitled her to everything Jesus had to offer. And you know what? Isn't that just like a whole lot of us up in here? We've got some double jeopardy. Most of us got some stuff. Somebody say some stuff. Yeah, we got some stuff against us. That's why we need Jesus to have mercy on us. Is there anybody in the house tonight, just a few of y'all, that have ever been some places that you should not have been? You ever done some stuff that you know you shouldn't have done? Ain't you glad God covered you? Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad God covered me. I'm so glad God had some of my stuff hid. I've got some double jeopardy. Most of us have some stuff working us against us, and we need God to have mercy on us. Matter of fact, you might as well just go on and take about 35 seconds to testify. Tell your neighbor sitting next to you, and matter of fact, I got so much stuff in my background that right now you need to understand that you are sitting next to a miracle. That's right. Tell them, I know I might not look like a miracle, but let me testify in your ear. Tell them, I wasn't even supposed to make it. I'm supposed to be on a prescription. I'm not supposed to be here. I should have been dead and in my grave. Y'all better fess up. But God kept me alive. Don't y'all make me preach by myself. Tell them, you don't know how many nights I cried. You don't know how I was wringing my hands and walking the floor. I was a mess. I should have lost my mind. I should be walking the street talking to myself. But God kept me alive, and I'm a miracle. Alcohol couldn't destroy me. Drugs couldn't take my mind. Disease couldn't destroy my body. Because God stepped in right on time and made a way out of no way, and I'm still here. I think I need a praise right in that space right there. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to do this. Don't y'all look at me like Alice in Wonderland. Because the only reason I'm not dead is because God is keeping me alive for a reason. A whole lot of stuff should have took you out by now. As a matter of fact, the last mess you were in should have wiped you out. But tell somebody, I'm still here. The last hit should have took your life, but you're still here. The last drink should have been your last one, but you're still here. The last car accident should have been fatal, but you're still here. Can I get about 25 people to give God a 20-second still here praise? Say yes. Say yes. Ha. Yeah, I'm still here. Still here. Y'all sit down. Got some stuff working in your background. Some stuff that disqualifies you. Tap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you don't know everything about me. Now, I know co-pastor. Co-pastor is known for giving sidebars. Can I give a little sidebar right here? Tell somebody, you really don't know everything about me. Yeah, matter of fact, I'm so glad God covered some stuff. There's some stuff that I wouldn't tell you about me if you paid me. You don't know everything about, you don't know everything about everybody. It's a little sidebar. See, that's why I always encourage people that are starting relationships to take your time. Smile at a single person and tell them, stop rushing. Ask them, what you rushing for? What you rushing for? See, because basically, you don't know everything about everybody. In fact, you only know what a person wants you to know. You only see what they want you to see. Even if you meet them in church. Because everybody in church ain't saved. I'm trying to help somebody right here. Everybody in church don't know Jesus. Everybody waving their hand ain't loving God like you. I know it's getting ready to get quiet in here, but even if you meet them in church, this is my sidebar, single people, and you start dating up on them, you need to understand that for the first 6 months, you are not dating them. You are dating their representative. Yeah, see. For the first 6 months, you ain't dating them. You dating their understudy. The real deal doesn't show up till about 8 or 10 months. Because, you see, the person you're dating now is on stage right now. They're playing the lead part in a play that they wrote. They're vying for an Oscar and an Academy Award. So they're putting their best foot forward right now. That's an award-winning performance. Don't y'all be getting mad at me. Just understand that you are at the matinee. This is the double feature. He's following a script. She's in a play, so give it some time. The real deal gonna show up after a while, because nobody can read a script forever. Eventually, the real deal is gonna show up and the real drama is gonna begin. The script forever. Eventually, the real deal is gonna show up and the real drama is gonna begin. Sidebar. That's why there ain't no such thing as love at first sight. There's intense attraction, but there's lust at first sight. If you love my body, and yeah, y'all ain't been saved that long. Stop acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all stop being deep now. There's no such thing as love at first sight. Love is a decision. Yeah, it ain't a tingle or a goosebump. It's a decision. I'm still in my sidebar. You have to give a relationship some time because you don't know everything about everybody. You've got to wait to see how a person behaves in a crisis. Brothers, you need to check her out and see how she behaves in a crisis. You need to watch how she handles things. You need to know if she's the kind of woman, something goes wrong, she's going to start to exhale. You need to know if she knows how to cook hot grits, burn your clothes, put sugar in your gas tank. Tell your neighbor you need to know that. And sisters, you don't know everything about everybody. Sisters, you got to watch how he treats his mama. Because how he treats his mama is how he going to treat. That's how he going to treat you. And you got to watch what that brother does with his money. Watch what he does with his money. Yes, watch what he does with his money. See, now I ain't saying I'm a gold digger, but I don't want no broke individual. I don't want no broke one. I know that's right. Sit down. You don't know everything about everybody. Take your neighbor by the elbow. Ease them on down in their seat. Tell them you don't know everything. God done covered up some stuff. Well, the Canaanite woman. She cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, I need you to have mercy on me because my daughter is demon possessed. What she's saying is, I need you to have mercy on me. Can I just break it down? Because my daughter's acting kind of crazy. Y'all don't mind if I go a little bit deeper. Notice that the Canaanite woman is asking for mercy for herself. although the sickness, don't miss this, is in her daughter. Now, the reason why I believe that she's asking for mercy for herself is because maybe there's the possibility that she's blaming herself for her daughter's, her child's condition. Maybe she assumes that the reason why she's acting the way that she's acting, maybe there is something she's not doing. Maybe there's something that she's doing not be doing. Right, not walking right, not talking right. See, a whole lot of us blame ourselves for the condition of other people. That's why sometimes we cry out and say, God, I need you to have mercy on me. And listen, she did not bring her daughter to Jesus. No, she left her daughter at home, came to Jesus on her daughter's behalf. Oh, let me come back and get some of y'all now. See, I believe that there's somebody here on a Wednesday night who is saying to themselves, that's exactly why I need God to do something in my life, because there is somebody that I left at home that is not acting right. Oh, I know you're looking good up in here tonight, but maybe you left something crazy at home. Maybe you got something crazy sleeping up in your bed. You left something crazy on your job, and you pressed your way out to the church tonight in spite of the prediction of rain and said, Jesus, thou son of David, I need you to have mercy on me because there's something in my life that's just not right. Maybe it's not your child. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's not your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your supervisor or your boss man. Is there anybody in this house tonight that needs God to have mercy on them? God, I feel like preaching. So she presses her way. She simply says, Jesus, thou son of David, can you help me out? I'm coming in crisis. I'm coming in chaos. And I'm coming because there is some confusion. I'm coming out of desperation and determination. She says, I've tried everything else. I've taken my child to the best doctors. I've read every book I could get my hands on about my child's condition. She said, I talked to the deacons. I met with the intercessors. I talked to the church mothers. I even had a meeting with my sister girlfriends, and yet nothing has changed. She said, so I came to you, Jesus, and I just need to know, can you help me in my crisis? Can you help me in my chaos? And can you help me in my confusion? The Canaanite woman said, can you help me in the midst of my predicament? And Bishop Owens, this is what blows my mind. The Bible says that Jesus dissed her. Jesus, who always has an answer for everything, ignores the woman. There it is right there in verse number 23. It says, and he answered her not a word. See, some of us come to God in desperation, and when we come to God in desperation, we want God to panic. Some of us come to God in desperation and we just want God to just move in a hurry. But you need to know that just because you are desperate doesn't mean God's going to get desperate. Just because you need him right now doesn't mean he's going to come in a hurry, because the Bible is right. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles, run and not be weary. It's true that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He's a God that's never early, but he's never late. Her child's case was urgent. Her motherly heart was tender and her cries were piercing, and yet he answered her not a word. Now, I know that I'm getting ready to mess with somebody's theology right here, but see, how is it possible that Jesus, who always answers me, is dissing me in the moment of my crisis? How is it possible that God, who always answers me, is dissing me in the moment of my chaos and my confusion? How can you diss me when I'm desperate? How can you diss me in my desperation? What kind of savior is this that disses me in my crisis? I know I'm getting ready to mess with somebody's theology, because you cannot believe that God can diss you. You cannot believe that Jesus can act like he's ignoring you. But I'm right up in the text tonight, because the Bible says that he answered her not a word. He said to her, talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening. Here she is in crisis. Here she is in chaos and confusion. She's not asking for a car. She's not asking for a house. She's just asking Jesus, do something for my daughter. And yet, in the midst of her asking, he disses her. The Canaanite woman came to Jesus in desperation, and she was dissed. And not only was she dissed, but to make matters worse, the Bible says now she has wiggle my feet and shout for joy. God, I feel like a yoke getting ready to be broke up in here. I thank God for everything I ever been through, because I can still worship him. I can still bless him. I can still lift him up. Somebody shout glory in the house. She comes in desperation. She's dissed by the Savior. Has to deal with some deluded disciples. Now, Bishop Owens, I'm not trying to mess with y'all folks. Bishop Owens and Bishop Willens, I'm not trying to mess with y'all folks, but check this out. The text says that when Jesus finally answers her, and when he does, he says to her sister girlfriend, he says, I would help you out, but he says, it is not meet, meaning that it is not proper, it is not appropriate, it just ain't right. Jesus said that it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. What was he talking about? He was referring to the blessings and the benefits that the Messiah would bring. Jesus said it just ain't right, just ain't proper to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now, you all know that them is fighting words. First you diss me, then you got to go theologian on me, and you did all of that after I worshiped you. Now, I did my homework. I know that in the East, that Gentiles, they were called dogs by the Jews, and I also know that it was common speech among the people. So calling a person a dog, a Gentile, a dog, was not necessarily an offensive form of speech. It just meant that the Gentiles were outside of the covenant rights of Israel, but still he called her a dog, and he did so after she worshiped. You see, Jesus wanted to prove to that woman that if your worship is real, you can still worship even after I say no. If your worship is real, you can still worship if I say maybe. If it's real, you can worship if I say I don't think so. You can still worship even when God's answers don't seem to make sense. Don't make no sense, but I still gotta praise. I ain't got no money, but I still gotta praise. I ain't even got no honey, but I still gotta praise. Don't know how I'm gonna make it. Don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills, but I still gotta praise. She comes. Jesus ignored her. But this is my last point. Somebody say last point. The Bible says that Jesus looked at the woman, and in effect, he said to the woman, he said, thank you for your hallelujahs. Thank you for your glory, glories. Thank you for your, bless the Lord, what a mighty God we serve. He said, but what I have is not for you. In fact, it's not proper to take my blessings and my benefits and throw it to dogs. And the Peterson translation of the Bible says in verse number 27 of that chapter, she spoke up quickly. Now, y'all know she was a black woman. Text says she was quick. That means she was formulating her answer while he was still giving his response. Y'all know that's a black woman right up in there. Because while you are tripping over your sentences, while your words are still kind of stuck up in your teeth, we are talking over you and formulating the answer. She spoke up quickly and said, Jesus, Lord, true that. She says, you are absolutely right. She says, as a matter of fact, I'm not arguing with you. She says, I'm not going to argue with you, but since you went theologian on me, she said, with all due respect, let me get theologian on you. She said, now I have a child, and I wouldn't give my child's bread to dogs either. She said, you are absolutely right, true that, but I didn't come asking for the bread. She said, I know that I'm not entitled to the bread. I didn't ask you for the bread. I know that I've got no rights to the bread. In fact, I didn't even ask you if I'd come to that table. She said, I know that I'm not qualified to sit at the table. Matter of fact, I didn't even ask you if I could come to the party, because I know that I'm not invited to the party. But seeing as you went doggish on me by calling me a dog, with all due respect, Lord, let me get a little doggish on you and give you some dogology. Then she said, one thing I know about a dog is that every dog got some rights. Now, y'all can clean it up if you want to, but the bottom line is he called her a dog. And it doesn't matter if he was talking about a poodle or a lassie or a collie or a German shepherd or a Doberman Pinscher or a Rottweiler. The bottom line is he called her a dog. And a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog. And anytime you call a black woman out of her name, them is fighting words. I can see her taking her earrings off, putting Vaseline on her face, rolling up her sleeves, saying, wait a minute, Lord, with all due respect. She said, you done crossed the line now. It was fine when you dissed me. I got over it when them brothers you run with disrespected me. But now you're up in my face telling me I can't get what you got because I'm a dog. She said, well, you're absolutely right. She said, but let me pause here and let you know that at least the dogs are entitled to the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She said, I'm not asking you to help me with the bread. I'm not arguing with you because faith never argues with God. She said, I just want to know, do you have some crumbs I can hang on to while I'm waiting on my bread? I just need to know, do you have some crumbs I can hang out with while I'm waiting on my bread? I came to tell somebody on my way to heaven that the secret to that woman's success was that she had an issue she was passionate about. She was willing to take no for an answer, no, no. And she was willing to go the extra mile. The woman looks at Jesus. She says to Jesus, you can keep the bread, but just give me the crumbs. But look at here, this is the verse that does it for me. It says in verse number 28, Jesus said to the woman, your faith is something else. He did not respond to her desperation, but the Bible says she responded to her faith. But I leave you with this question tonight, because I don't feel like boring you any longer. My question to the woman is this: why would the woman settle for a crumb and not wait on the whole loaf of bread? Why would she settle for a little bitty blessing and not wait on the whole blessing? Why would she settle for a little bit of an answer and not wait on the whole answer? And I believe that the woman would say, well, the reason why I can settle for a crumb and not wait on the bread is because the same God that made that bread, he made the crumb. The same God that touched the bread, he touched the crumb. The same God that blessed the bread, he blessed the crumb. I came to tell somebody tonight, while I'm waiting on my bread, I can shout on a crumb. While I'm waiting on my deliverance, I can shout on a crumb. While I'm waiting on God to work it out, I can shout on a crumb. While I'm waiting for God to turn it around, I can shout on a crumb. While I'm waiting on God to make a way, I can shout on a crumb. See, I thank God for all the crumbs in my life. I made it this far not on bread, but I made it this far on a crumb. I feel God getting ready to release somebody in here. See, I didn't come for everybody tonight. tonight. I only came for somebody that says, I feel like I've been dissed. I feel like I've been passed over.